This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton, local author, historian, cartographer, online at rickbritton.com, joins us on Friday afternoons to talk a little local history, and good stuff. And he's been out on sabbatical for a while, but he is back, and we are honored to have him with us. How did those things, those brush fires start? People throwing cigarettes out the window, you think?
I think that's a good, yeah, that's a good call, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, that can really get out of hand. That could have been really bad. So, we're glad it's under control there on the Waynesboro side of the mountain. How are you, sir? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. I'm doing great. How have you been?
Good. Yeah.
Got a lot. Keeping busy.
Too much going on, but,
staying out of trouble.
6 feet above ground is a great day.
That is.
Looking
it's a great
forward
day.
To a good weekend.
Yep. And it's been beautiful. A little bit hot, but beautiful weather out there, man. Especially in the mornings. I don't know if you're... Are you a morning person?
I wish I was.
I'm a very early morning person.
Really?
So I get up way before the sun
now, how
comes
do you,
up.
Really?
I do.
Do you have chickens or something?
Don't have chickens.
You
no,
got a
or
cow
rabbits
milk,
or anything. No. But wake up pretty early. And
What's early
usually
for you?
Start writing 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Rick! That's insane.
It is insane.
That's not waking up early.
It's waking up early.
That's getting up like in the middle of the sleep.
Yeah. No, I do. I do. Seriously.
When you go to sleep.
And lots of time, if you ask my wife, I pass out around 8, 8:30 or so. Yeah.
Wow. Now, how do you get up in the middle of the night? Do you set an alarm clock?
No, it just wakes me up. You know how you get older, you have that problem that wakes you up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're, just...
And once I'm up, once I'm up, where's that bell?
Yeah.
Once I'm up, I kind of...
Then you're just up.
I stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't really go back to bed, so you go to work.
Lots of times. Yeah. Usually I go to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great because it's quiet. Nobody's calling you on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, you can go up on the internet. Nobody IMs you, which lots of times drives me crazy.
You can get out on those. You get out on those tubes, and there's not a lot of traffic
in
those
tubes, man. It's clear,
clear.
Yeah. No, you know, all green lights.
Right there, you go. No ticket cameras.
No ticket cameras.
Long yellow lights
on that expressway.
Yeah,
that's
good
right.
Stuff.
That's right.
So what's going on?
Well, you know, listen, last week I meant to tell everybody, but just really quickly, and we'll talk about it some more down the road, but in the last week in October, so starting October 23rd through the 30th, at the Senior Center, but it's going to be headquartered at the Omni, we're going to be doing the Virginia President's Tour, and in the course of that week, we're going to visit all of the Virginia presidential homes.
Holy cow.
Yes, we are.
I may have to go on this.
Yeah, you might have to come in. We'll have a great time.
I haven't been to some of these.
We're going all over the place. We're going in, you know, to Stanton to see Woodrow Wilson, and we're going down to the Virginia Peninsula to see Harrison and Tyler. And we're driving past Taylor's. We can't actually go into Taylor's birthplace, but I'm going to do a presentation on Zachary Taylor.
It's not a public...
It's not. It's not open to the public, but that's the only one that we can't... Well, we can see it. And I'll do a presentation on it, on his life and his birth there, which is just up here in Orange County.
So,
not many people know, in Barbersville.
And this is a Senior Center tour with Rick Britton.
Right.
Sponsored by the Senior Center. You're going to go George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, William Henry Harrison, John Tyler Jr., Zachary Taylor, and Woodrow Wilson, all U.S. presidents from Virginia.
All eight.
And
yeah,
you're going to go visit all of their homes.
We are. We are. It's going to be fantastic in the course of a week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then also, while we're in and around Charlottesville, we're going to do some other things, too. I'm going to give them a tour of the University of Virginia, Court Square, the oldest part of downtown, and a few other little things like that. It includes a wine tasting and a wine tour up at Barbersville Vineyards. There's a lot of really neat stuff in the package. And if you're interested, just go to the Senior Center website. It's seniorcenterinc.org, or you can give them a call at 974-6538 and ask them about it.
There you
go. It's
going
to be cool. But listen, we've also got this ongoing series, lecture and day trip series, and next week I'm going to be talking about the 19th Virginia Infantry. That was the largest conglomeration of men and boys in the Civil War in the Confederate Army from right here in Albemarle County. I'm going to talk about them.
The largest in the Confederate Army or the largest from Virginia?
The largest in the Confederate Army, from the largest grouping together from Albemarle County, was the 19th Virginia Infantry.
Oh, I got you.
7 of the 10 companies in one regiment were from Charlottesville and Albemarle County. So that's the largest conglomeration.
So
from
if
this
you fought
area.
The Civil War and you were from here, you were in
more
the 19th Virginia.
More than likely, you were from the 19th. Yeah, you were in the 19th Virginia. If you're in the infantry, I mean, there are plenty of cavalry companies and artillery units. So if you're in the infantry, more than likely. But I'm going to talk about them. I'm giving a free talk at the Senior Center this upcoming Wednesday on their participation in the Maryland campaign and Sharpsburg. And then the very next week, we're going to the Sharpsburg battlefield. So in honor of that talk, I brought a Civil War quiz on the Battle of Sharpsburg.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we want to play a quiz. We want to invite folks. It's been a long time since we've done this.
We haven't done a quiz in a while.
Folks may not remember how it works. Rick's going to read the question. If you think you know, you give me a call. You'll go right on the air, and we'll help you win. But you didn't hear me say that. What should we give them away?
You got some stuff?
We have...
Zazus?
I think we have... I've reserved those for the TV.
Got it.
But we do have some... I think we got some Papa John's pizza.
Oh, that's good pizza.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Leon, but I think we have some Papa John's pizza. Plus, you know what we have? We also we have some Edgecombs free wheel alignments.
Oh, man, nice.
I got some of those to give away, too.
That's
so if you want to
win... That's more than a pizza, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's...
Now, the real game begins.
Is that your final answer?
Let's play.
Ding, ding, ding.
What do we have for Johnny?
All righty, 43 minutes after 4 o'clock, we're talking with Rick Britton live in studio, and it's time for a little history quiz. So we do have Papa John's pizza. Thank you, Leon. So let's go to question number one.
Question number one. And all of these are about the Maryland campaign. True or false? The Battle of Sharpsburg took place during Robert E. Lee's first invasion of the North. True or false?
So 977-1070 is the phone number. If you think you know, give me a call, and we'll let you win something. Now, the Battle of Sharpsburg, of course, is the southern description of what is the North calls Antietam.
The Battle of Antietam, right. Took place on September 17th, 1862.
And you were telling us last week that that was the bloodiest... It wasn't?
Yeah, but it's one of the questions.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. He's giving it away, folks. Not only is he giving away pizza, he's giving away the answers.
977-1070 is the phone number. If you want to win, we'll give away we'll give away an Edgecombs goodie bag for the first person to call us up and play this game. Edgecombs goodie bag, which includes a free wheel alignment. And the goodie bag as well, T-shirt, good stuff in there. Free wheel alignment, 977-1070. If you think you know it's true or false, you got a 50% chance to win.
That's right. What's really interesting about this talk is they were in the thick of it in the Battle of South Mountain, which is also called Turner's Gap, and the Battle of Sharpsburg. And in the process of talking about the local boys in this campaign, it's the perfect setup to explain to everybody what happened, all the interesting incidents in the campaign to get us to the Battle of Sharpsburg.
We're talking with Rick Britton. Let's go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Linda.
Hey, Linda, how are you? Happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Happy Friday to you, too.
So is it, let Rick ask the question again, and then we'll give you a chance to win.
Linda, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, true or false? The Battle of Sharpsburg, or Antietam, as it's called in the North, took place during Robert E. Lee's first invasion of the North. True or false?
True.
True, absolutely right. Good job.
There you go, Linda. Now, how did you know that? Did you guess or did you know that?
Well, I grew up not too far from Gettysburg, so
there you go.
And
you
know, it's been a big part of my life.
And you know that Gettysburg took place during his second invasion of the North.
That's right.
There you go.
She's an insider. There you go. All right, Linda, hold on just a minute, and Leon's going to tell you how you can pick up your Edgecombs goodie bag. She is on line one, Leon, and we'll hook her up with all those good prizes, including a free wheel alignment from Edgecombs, which is celebrating 30 years in the business, edgecombs.com. You can visit them today. What was the deal, Rick, with invading Maryland and Gettysburg, and where were they going, and what was he trying to do?
Well, we're talking about Sharpsburg here. We're talking about the first invasion, the Maryland campaign, and there's a lot of really good reasons. One was at the time in the late summer, early fall of 1862, Robert E. Lee pretty much had been invincible. He and the Army of Northern Virginia had done an amazing thing. If you think about what the situation had been in Virginia just 3 months earlier. So he had, what I'm getting at is he had supreme confidence in his ability and the ability of his men. For example, McClellan and 120,000 men were so close to Richmond. Remember, they were setting their pocket watches by the church spires in Richmond. They were that close just 3 months earlier. So with the 7 days campaign, the Peninsula campaign, Lee drove them all the way back to Harrison's Landing. Then they defeated another federal army under John Pope at Manassas. So they won the Second Battle of Manassas. So the 7 days campaign, a strategic victory. Manassas, a strategic and tactical victory.
But
and
where were
all
the,
of this in just a few months?
But I mean, the North knew they had to separate the South. You know, Sherman's
right,
march.
Right,
they had
right.
to split up the South.
Right,
they had,
but they were still having
they had
a
to take Richmond.
Right.
What were the Confederates? Where were they going? And what was their goal?
The goal was to take the war out of the South, out of Virginia, to give the Virginia farmers a respite for a while, and perhaps make the North weary of the war.
So they were trying to move the major line, the front line of the battle, out of Virginia up into Maryland.
That's right.
Or Pennsylvania.
And then there's a one other major reason. A lot of people considered Maryland. There are a lot of pro-secessionist people in the Baltimore area, pro-Southerners, Southern loyalists, and a lot of people had the idea that he could just get the army up into Maryland. Literally tens of thousands of Maryland men and boys would flock to the Confederate colors. And they held those hopes as the Confederate army was fording the Potomac, going across White's Ford into Maryland. They were playing Maryland, My Maryland. Robert E. Lee issued a proclamation that he'd come to liberate the people of Maryland from, you know, the federal oppressor. Well, the recruits only filled companies. It's one of the great stories of their hopes were shattered. Guys showed up and saw what the Confederate Army looked like, and there's a really neat story, and I'll talk more about it this coming Wednesday, what they smelled like and decided, wait a minute, this isn't for me, and went back to Baltimore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the Confederate Army thought that they would be greeted as liberators.
By tens of thousands.
Heard that before.
And guys joining the ranks.
And
I heard that story before. Yeah.
Sounds familiar. It did indeed. They thought all they had to do was show up in Maryland.
Show up, yeah.
And they would be greeted as liberators. People would come running out into the streets.
Yeah. And guys to fall in the ranks.
And that didn't happen.
No. Just a few guys came. Just a few guys.
Very
interesting. They expected tens of thousands.
All right. Question number two in the Rick Britton quiz for this beautiful Friday. I hope you're doing well. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
And if you're listening, this is the one my buddy Coy Barefoot almost gave away a few moments ago. True or false? The Battle of Sharpsburg or Antietam was the single bloodiest day of the American Civil War, fought on September 17th, 1862. True or false? Was it the bloodiest day of the Civil War?
977-1070. If you think you know that answer, we have a free wheel alignment for you from Edgecombs, celebrating 30 years in the business, all makes and models, edgecombs.com. Visit them today. We'll give you a free Edgecombs goodie bag. Call me right now at 977-1070. If you think you know, true or false, was the Battle of Sharpsburg, the bloodiest battle, as we call it in Virginia, the bloodiest battle in the Civil War. Caller, what's your first name?
John.
Hey, John, happy Friday to you.
Same to you, sir.
What do you think?
I think it was.
It was, but Coy just misspoke. He said the bloodiest battle. It's not the bloodiest battle, bloodiest single day.
Oh,
of the
I'm
Civil
sorry.
War.
What was the bloodiest battle?
Gettysburg was a lot bloodier, but Gettysburg was over 3 days.
Ah,
so
got
absolutely
it.
Right, though. You got it right. Absolutely.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
Right.
Congratulations, John. Hold on just a minute. He is on line one, Leon, and he'll tell you. Leon will tell you how you can get your goodies. Let's go to caller number two. Caller, what's your first name? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
there
how
he
you
is.
Doing?
Oh, that's me. Okay.
Yeah. What's your first name?
Randy Hicks.
Randy, hold on just a minute. We got another question for you. Stay with us, Rick. Go right ahead.
Randy, you ready for another one?
I'll try.
Okay, true or false? The famous Lost Order, Special Orders Number 191, detailed Robert E. Lee's plan to capture Washington, D.C. and hold Abraham Lincoln for ransom. Is that true or false?
Wait, you got to read that one again.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? There was there was one of Robert E. Lee's orders that was actually found in a field outside of Frederick, Maryland. It's the famous Lost Order. It was Special Orders 191. Did it detail Robert E. Lee's plan to capture Washington, D.C. and hold Lincoln for ransom? Is that true or false?
50-50 guess, true.
No.
Oh, dog.
Nice try.
Try it again.
Yeah, try again.
Oh, maybe it's false then.
It is. It's
there
false.
You go.
Good
Give
job.
That man a free wheel alignment.
Yeah, it's good job.
Oh.
Good job.
Hold on just a minute, and Leon will hook you up, tell you how you can get Leon. He's on line two. He gets a free wheel alignment from Edgecombs Imported Auto Sales and Service. So what is this thing?
This story is really amazing. Most of the army went up to Frederick, the Confederate army went to Frederick and then marched to the west. Sharpsburg, Antietam Creek in Sharpsburg is west of Frederick, Maryland, over the mountains. So they go to Frederick and then they march to the west. And then the Federal army under McClellan, as it was pursuing, marched via Frederick also. So Lee's army leaves on the 11th of September. McClellan's army marches in only 2 days later on the 13th. And as they're setting up camp, these two Indiana boys, one guy, Corporal Mitchell from Bartholomew, Indiana. He looks over. They're getting ready to have some coffee and maybe a cigar or so. And he looks over, and there's an envelope. And inside is a very official-looking document wrapped around three cigars. And the cigars were a great find. But then they start looking at the document, and they realize that it's actually an order from Robert E. Lee to one of his division commanders, D.H. Hill, outlining where the different divisions of the Confederate Army were at the time. And what's important about that is because Robert E. Lee was trying to capture the federal garrison at Harper's Ferry, he had spread out his forces. So it was a huge find. Within a matter of hours, the order, special orders number 191, was taken all the way up the chain of command to McClellan. And McClellan at the time was hosting a gathering of Frederick area civilians. And they, somebody went up to him orderly and said, General, you really need to see this. And he stepped away from the civilians for a moment, read it, and then started waving his hands and said, "Now I know what to do." It gave him an amazing opportunity, but special order.
So did the Federals win as a result of finding that?
He got a little bit more aggressive. A little bit more. Anybody else would have gotten a lot aggressive really fast. But McClellan had a perpetual problem of the slows, as they used to call it back there. So he got a little bit more aggressive and came close to doing something that would have split Robert E. Lee's army in two and then enable them to defeat the widely separated divisions.
Let me ask you this. Here's a what if for U.S. history. What if it had been Grant that had found that?
Grant would have moved right away. He would have contacted his corps commanders, and they would have been on the march inside of an hour. McClellan, here's the difference. McClellan found out in the early afternoon of September 13th. It wasn't until the next morning that they started moving. Even though he knew where they were. It's amazing.
And he knew that Lee had stretched the army out real thin.
Right, exactly.
And made him
he
really
vulnerable.
He waited
until the next morning, and he didn't even tell his corps commanders what the movement was for until the next morning. Anybody else, even if you're going to move the next morning, would have notified everybody, "I got all this information. We're going to be able to do amazing things. Get ready to move first thing in the morning."
Yeah.
Didn't bother to tell them till the next morning.
Goodness gracious. You got one more?
Yeah, oh yeah, man. Yeah.
All right, we got time for one more. Give us a call, 977-1070. We'll give you a free wheel alignment at Edgecombe's Imported Auto Sales and Service, online at edgecombs.com. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. Which one of the following was not a part of the Sharpsburg battlefield? In other words, which one of the following list of things was not on the Sharpsburg battlefield? A, the West Woods. B, Bloody Lane. C, Devil's Den. D, the Dunkard Church.
All right, let's go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name, please?
Diane.
Hey, Diane. Happy Friday. Thanks for calling. Let Rick read the... Are you a Civil War expert, Diane?
Not at all.
Well, you might do pretty good here. Stay with us. Rick's going to read it one more time.
Okay. You ready, Diane?
Sure.
Okay. Which one of the following places was not a part of the Sharpsburg battlefield? A, the West Woods. B, Bloody Lane. C, Devil's Den. D, the Dunkard Church.
I'm going to guess B.
B. No, it's not that one. You want to try again?
Guess again.
So it was Bloody Lane, in other words, was on the Sharpsburg battlefield. Have you been to Gettysburg?
It's been a long time.
Okay, because one of these places was a part of the Gettysburg battlefield instead of the Sharpsburg battlefield.
I haven't been there in 30 years. Seventh grade.
Can you read it one more time?
So the ones that are left over are A, the West Woods, C, Devil's Den, D, the Dunkard Church.
C.
It is C, the Devil's Den, yep. That was a part of the Gettysburg battlefield. Good job.
Way to go, Diane.
All right.
That's how you roll, baby. There you go. Hold on just a minute, and Leon's going to hook you up with a free wheel alignment from Edgecombe's Imported Auto Sales and Service, celebrating 30 years in the business right here in Charlottesville.
Wow, 30 years.
How about that?
Yeah.
There you go. So that was all those other things were at other battles, is that right?
Yeah, no, just Devil's Den was at Gettysburg, but the Westwoods, Bloody Lane, Dunkard Church, all pretty prominent, pretty famous landmarks.
There you go.
The Sharpsburg Battlefield.
Rick Britton joins us on Friday afternoons to talk a little history. Thank you, Rick, so much. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And for more information about Rick's talks and tours, you can contact the Senior Center right here in Charlottesville.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.